become the future of WWE. Brodus Clay has indeed arrived.
We're gonna wrap it up!
Come on!
You're scared of someone like me.
Wrap it up!
I'm the thing that goes boom in the night. What you love, I will take.
Well, I didn't see that coming. That was funky.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
It's a brand new week, and we are back in the studio once again. This is SRL on a Monday night. My name is Corey Callahan, sitting right beside James McDonald. James, how you doing tonight, buddy? James.
Sorry, folks. I was just funking out there for a second.
Wow. You had your eyes closed and everything. Head bobbing. You're loving this.
What can I say? How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing okay. I mean, I was having such a great weekend. I mean, the Vancouver Canucks, if you didn't see it or hear about it yet, they beat the Boston Bruins this weekend.
Holy smokes, what a game that was. It's very rare you'll see me get up at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, but I got up for this one, and let me tell you, I am glad I did.
Mm-hmm.
What a game. I mean, it's very rare that you see a hockey game that not only lives up to the hype but surpasses it. I mean, this thing had everything. It had bad blood, emotions were running high, had great goals, great goaltending, hits all over the place,
yeah.
Fights, people getting ejected, people getting injured.
It is one of those games where if you're not a hockey fan, that a game like that will convince you
absolutely
to become one.
Game of the year, for sure.
And then, of course, in typical Canucks fashion, they follow it up with a 2-1 loss to the Florida Panthers this afternoon.
Oh, God. What do you say about this team, you know?
I know. What do you say about the Vancouver Canucks? And in the same breath, I would ask, what do you say about Monday Night Raw tonight?
Holy good Christ. That's what I'm going to say.
That's how you're starting it off.
That's how I'm starting it off. Like, wow, this Monday Night Raw, it was definitely an interesting Monday Night Raw. It had everything. It had swerves. It had botches. It had seriously illogical storyline writing. I mean,
So, just off the top of your head, would you say it was a good Raw, an entertaining Raw, an interesting Raw? What are you using to describe tonight?
You know what? Tonight I'd probably say it's an interesting Raw. I wouldn't say it's good, because I mean there wasn't really a lot of in-ring action per se. There was a lot of storyline building tonight, eh?
Yeah.
If you noticed, but
I'd like
to see a little bit more, you know, in-ring action and, you know, have the final two matches at least have a conclusion to them, you know.
Well, let's jump right into it. Before we get going, I just want to remind everyone that this is SRL on a Monday night. You can also check back with us Thursday evening for Smack Talk Radio Live, the full edition, where we will have this and a whole lot more. And as well, if you want to check out our website, www.smacktalkradiolive.com, as well, you can also join in on Facebook.com/SmackTalkRadio. Now, James, Monday Night Raw coming from Corpus Christi, Texas tonight.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about the crowd?
Wow. This crowd was unbelievably bad.
Nice. Well, we start the entire show off with a promo highlighting the storyline featuring John Cena and Kane. And I gotta say, James, just based off the footage that I saw in that opening montage, it just screams that this storyline is built for children. Would you agree?
Oh, totally. 100% I would agree. Like, when I was watching this opening montage, it felt like I was watching something from a cheap B-movie. Like, this is something that's definitely not geared towards people that are your and my age. This is definitely something that's geared, I think, towards the younger PG audience.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, personally, I don't like it.
Well, right off the bat, to start Monday, after we have our opening video, we have Kane, his music hits, his pyro hits. He walks out to address the crowd in Texas, grabs the microphone. Now, typically, when Kane starts off a episode of Raw or SmackDown, we are treated to a 11 or 12-minute promo from him.
They're not bad.
That's what I was just going to say. Typically, they are pretty good. So tonight he grabs the microphone and he basically starts off by saying that he does hear the disapproving voices from the crowd asking why he is embracing the hate. And he says that the fans are in denial. He brings up the idea that most people are actually sitting at home, probably next to a spouse that they despise. They go to work at a job they can't stand, and they probably look at their kids in disappointment. You all live lives filled with pure hate, but you don't embrace it because you're too cowardly. And he says that John Cena actually represents, well, he says that you think John Cena represents hope and success and all that you aspire to achieve, but in reality, he should represent failure. And you say that John Cena sucks, but you really should be saying that you guys suck. You know, talking to them, they should be saying that they
suck. Speaking heavily metaphorically.
Exactly. And basically, Kane is saying that he wants consequences for everyone's failures. It's at this moment that John Cena's music hits. Cena wastes no time, runs down, goes right at it with Kane. They duke it out in the ringside area.
Yeah,
they
clears him from the ring.
Yep, they ended up taking it to the backstage area. They go at it in the backstage area. The one thing I had to laugh about this, James, is that there just seemed to be a lot of people standing around watching.
Yeah, like, what are your purpose there? What are you standing there for? And they're getting involved. Kane's hitting them and tossing them around as well.
And then they go out into the loading bay area, and it's at this point that Kane throws Cena almost into the WrestleMania 28 semi-truck, which I'm pretty sure that this is what this whole segment was about. They wanted to show that semi-truck.
The loading bay area that we'll see plenty of times in tonight's episode.
Yeah, and when he throws him in kind of like to the back of the semi-truck area there, John Cena reaches and grabs for a crowbar, and he smacks Kane in the leg with a crowbar. Very un-Cena-like, I seem to think. But at that point, John Cena kind of recovers himself after hitting Kane with the crowbar, turns around, Kane's gone. Opening segment to start off Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it's, again, it's like something from a cheap kids B movie, I thought. I mean, I don't know. It's very childlike, this whole program, don't you think? Oh, it is.
I mean, you have Kane coming up from inside the ring, you know, the flames bursting from the hole that he left in the ring at last week's Raw.
Yeah, trying to pull Zack Ryder down beneath the ring.
It's a PG-rated storyline built for kids, and I think it's a shame that they have to start Monday Night Raw off like that, because as an adult, I can't say that it really is piquing my interest, but at the same time, I can understand why they're going in that direction to start Monday Night Raw off and to kind of make it the main event storyline. I mean, it is, John Cena represents the PG era.
To be honest with you, Corey, as an adult, there's nothing really on Monday Night Raw that's piquing my interest at the moment. Not even CM Punk, really, in the program that he's in with Dolph Ziggler. It's just two guys, you know, battling for bragging rights in the title, essentially. There's no...
Do you think this whole involvement with Cena and Kane is leading to a John Cena heel turn in any way?
I could see that. It's possible. I mean, I don't know. A Cena heel turn is going to be big. It's going to be industry shaking.
I have a feeling that Kane isn't going to be the man to actually turn Cena heel, though. You know what I mean?
No. It's funny because I wonder how The Rock's going to play into this whole...
I know.
This whole rivalry between Kane and Cena. How is he going to step in now?
Where and when does he step in, first of all? How does he take over?
It's got to be at the Royal Rumble. I mean, The Rock's got to show up at the Rumble.
Yes.
He's got to build his feud, right?
What I found interesting about this whole Cena and Kane story, though, is, you know, Kane is talking, he's bringing up the fact that the fans do chant Cena sucks. And what's kind of interesting is if you go on WWEshop.com, I was on the website yesterday, and the front page of their website, they are advertising Cena Sucks t-shirts. You can buy a Cena Sucks t-shirt from their shop website.
Oh, yes, but the proceeds go to Cena, though, don't they?
No, it goes to the WWE.
Cena gets, what I mean to say is he gets royalties off those t-shirts, right?
But that's besides the point. They're actually promoting a shirt that is anti-Cena. I mean,
but is it anti-Cena if he's getting royalties from the sales?
No, I mean, really, they win in either situation. So they're capitalizing off the fact that Cena is getting booed, really. But it's just very interesting to me that they're advertising that shirt. And then they're having Kane kind of fuel the speculation that Cena could turn heel. I mean, I'm wondering if this all has to do with the fact that they just know Cena is going to get booed out of the building in Miami at WrestleMania.
Well, that's a good possibility, but
I figure, my thought is they know it's going to happen, so why not generate revenue off it and make money off it? And that's why they're doing this.
Yeah.
I think they're setting this up for that. That's what I think this whole thing is all about.
You know what I could see, Corey? I think I could see the big Cena heel turn at WrestleMania. He'll win the match against The Rock, but he'll turn heel in the process.
Yeah, that's a definite thought for sure.
That's what I think could happen. But then again, you know what? I called Brodus Clay to appear in the Royal Rumble match, and as we'll find out later.
Yeah. Well, we then go after commercial break. We then come back to a moments ago highlight package, which just absolutely pisses me off. We just spent 15 minutes prior to the commercial break watching the opening segment with Kane and Cena. We go to commercial, we come back, and they show us moments ago highlights.
And we spend another 3-4 minutes just going over what we just saw.
We just saw it. It makes, I hate when they do that.
Yeah.
This then leads us to Sheamus, his music hitting, and him walking out. This sets up an eventual tag team match, which is Sheamus and Santino Marella taking on Wade Barrett and Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, this was a short match. It only went about 5 minutes long. And then essentially, Santino started off with Jinder Mahal, and basically Mahal and Wade Barrett, they worked on Santino for a couple minutes until Sheamus got the hot tag, and then the finish came when... Sheamus scoop slammed Jinder Mahal, then ran over and knocked Wade Barrett to the floor. And then he turned around and he hit him with a bro kick. And then he went and tagged in Santino Marella. Santino Marella, he put the Cobra sock on, hit Jinder Mahal with the Cobra, got the pin, 1-2-3. So Sheamus and Santino Marella are your victors. I think it was like a 4.5-5 minute match. It wasn't very long.
Are you buying the Cobra in any way?
The Cobra?
Are you a fan of it?
I'm a fan of Santino Marella. I don't mind the Cobra. It's not totally offensive to me.
Mm-hmm. Are you growing tired of Santino in any way, or do you still find him very entertaining?
No, I still find Santino. You got to have that kind of guy like Santino on your show.
Yeah.
The ultimate comedy relief. I mean, he's never going to be a prestigious title holder, but he's definitely someone that helps round out your show, right? You can't have all really seriously. He's skilled, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like really serious kind
of
guys.
My favorite part of that entire match tonight was when Santino walked out and he did the incredible fast walk.
Oh, right, and he did it like three
almost
times
like the Olympic
ring.
Walk.
Yeah,
he did it twice. Oh, he went around once, slapping everyone's hands, and then he called the second lap around. So at the end of this match, we then dissolve backstage to The Miz. And he is saying that what's happened to him with R-Truth is unfair. R-Truth attacked him twice. It's at this point that David Otunga and John Laurinaitis walk up. And Laurinaitis says that he has enough on his plate already running the Raw Super Show. And basically at the end he says, Miz, this whole thing is not my problem. I'm not little Jimmy. I'm big Johnny. And he starts texting on his cell phone to end the segment.
Again, there's a little bit of a babyface tweak there with John Laurinaitis not helping out The Miz.
Yeah, it's very interesting what they're doing with him. I mean, we talked about it on last Thursday's Smack Talk Radio Live, and I'm starting to really see that they are doing this on purpose. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a reason for it.
There's got to be a purpose for it, definitely.
Yeah. At this point, we then see a graphic promoting John Cena taking on Jack Swagger later tonight. And then we come back to the Did You Know segment, and the Did You Know segment tonight was the Did you know, James, that the first member of the WWE Hall of Fame was Andre the Giant on March 22nd, 1993?
I did know that, yes.
Did you? I figured you would. But this sets us up for the unveiling of our first Hall of Fame inductee into this year's Hall of Fame ceremony. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say this guy is the headliner.
Oh, absolutely. No other choice. There's no other choice.
And after watching the promo video that they show, it turns out that the first inductee will be the Rated R Superstar Edge.
That's right, Adam Copeland, the very first inductee into the 2012 Hall of Fame. I'm happy with that, and that makes me actually want to go see the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So I think tickets go on sale on Sunday, they were saying?
Saturday. Which we will be purchasing.
Definitely. If Edge is headlining, I'm definitely going to be there.
Yeah. Now, here's a question I asked you earlier, and I want to get into this on Thursday a little more, but just quickly, do you feel that Edge is deserving of being a main event inductee into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
100%. I mean, the guy's career speaks for itself. I mean, just go back and look at how many titles the guy's had.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, what, over 20?
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I definitely agree.
He's done everything. He's won the Royal Rumble.
This is just one of those instances where the first time, in my recollection anyways, it's an instance where the main event Hall of Fame inductee is someone that is within our generation of viewing. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, you could argue Shawn Michaels as well.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Right? Shawn Michaels was last year, so.
But Edge came a lot later than Shawn Michaels. So yeah, he is one of those Hall of Fame inductees that's really only done it in the last 17 years. You know
what
I mean?
It's criminal that he's not wrestling anymore in the first place. But,
yeah.
But no, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. He is the first... Essentially, the first Hall of Fame headline really that's started and ended kind of in our remembrance of, of viewing, right?
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm going with that. We then head backstage to The Miz, now talking with Mace and Ryan, and we don't hear what they're saying, but Mace and Ryan basically walks away from The Miz, almost laughing. I guess Miz is proposing something to Mace and Ryan to...
I think he wanted him to be his bodyguard or something like that, wasn't it?
Well, it sets... There's a bit of a continuation on throughout the evening, eventually, with what he talks about with Ricardo Rodriguez. So to start off, he starts talking to Mace and Ryan. Mace and Ryan blows him off.
Yeah.
We then dissolve to Zack Ryder, who's on a cell phone, and Eve Torres walks up, and these two have had a bit of chemistry lately. And she asks if Zack Ryder's okay, you know, like based off what happened last week on Raw. He says, yeah. And he eventually gets to the... He just throws out the line that, Eve, we should go out, and I don't have a match till later tonight, so why don't we go out right now? I guess they're going to go on a date during the broadcast of Monday Night Raw. And Eve thinks it over and says, yeah, okay.
What kind of date would that be? Go for burritos or something?
A walk around the beach.
Hit up McDonald's?
I don't know. How much time do you have before you both have to go out and wrestle? Because that's what she eventually says, that she has a match tonight too, and that if she wins, she'll get a shot at the Diva title, so it may have to wait till after that, the date that is. Ryder says okay and good luck. They walk away, only to find out that Kane was listening in behind a door, which he pops his head out from as we head to commercial. Gotta say, that was a little weird.
Yeah, that's, again, the whole childishness... Yeah. Of this program that they're doing, like Kane peering around the door, I threw my head up and said, "Oh my God, really?"
And you know what? The one thing I want to bring up is I've really noticed in the last few weeks since they've thrown Zack Ryder into this kind of main event spotlight, you know, associating him with John Cena, is that Zack Ryder is just as PG and targeted for the kids as John Cena is. There's nothing grown up about Zack Ryder in any way.
Well, there's not really anything grown up about anybody.
Well, yeah, but...
At this point, anyways. I'm basing it just on what I've seen on Raw tonight, I guess.
By doing this childish storyline with Zack Ryder, you're basically... You're not putting him at the same level as someone like CM Punk or Dolph Ziggler, these guys who are really competing in the spotlight for a possible championship. By having Zack Ryder in this angle, I don't take him seriously anymore.
Well, I guess the people at WWE take him seriously for putting him in this program with Cena. I mean, I thought he was going to be moved back because he wasn't drawing strong ratings, but here he is.
Yeah.
You know, he's...
Well, they're really pushing him into the spotlight.
Oh, yeah, he's in this main program story here, so...
We then have Kofi Kingston, one half of the tag team champions. He walks out, and he's going to be taking on Daniel Bryan, who, of course, is the World Heavyweight Champion. Apparently, this match was set up from a friendly challenge through WWE.com.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, kind of pushing, you know, storylines through their website, I guess. These two shake hands to start the match, and that leads us to Kofi versus Daniel.
Yeah, this was a really short match, wasn't it? It was
Absolutely.
It was only like 2 minutes long or something like that. But essentially, I'm just going to go over the finish of the match. The finish of the match was Kofi whipped Daniel Bryan into the corner, and Daniel Bryan leapt up to the top rope, did a backflip over top of Kofi Kingston's head.
Yeah.
Kofi then leapt up to the top rope, and he went to do a top rope cross body splash that he likes to do, but it was really well done. He reversed it into the lapel lock. He kind of grabbed his arm as he was coming down and reversed it into the lapel lock, and Kofi Kingston tapped out. I think it was like a minute and a half. It wasn't a very long match.
And this set up Daniel Bryan to continue his excessive cheering after his win. He's really celebrating to the crowd that he is the champion.
Maybe they're kind of doing the same thing that they're doing with Chris Jericho, kind of trying to ingratiate him so much that the crowd starts to give him heat. Right?
Yeah, I think people are going to start to get a little annoyed at the excessive celebrating that he does. But he's doing this obviously on purpose. It's over the top for a reason, right? So it could set him up for a heel turn. You don't know.
Yeah, well, you like how they crapped on their tag team champion and just squashed him in a minute and a half? And where was Evan Bourne?
Like, I don't even think it was a minute and a half.
Like, where was Evan Bourne?
Yeah, I don't know. Good question.
Nowhere to be seen the entire show.
I'm not sure.
I think there's rumors that he's in hot water with Triple H, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he's...
Maybe that has something to do with it.
Probably.
Big Show's music hits. He walks out at this while Daniel Bryan is excessively cheering. Daniel Bryan, or they both have microphones. Daniel Bryan says, okay, about last week, I'm with you. I hate what happened on SmackDown. That is, of course, Mark Henry had shoved Daniel Bryan during his match with the Big Show.
That's right.
Ref threw the match out. Big Show won by disqualification. Daniel Bryan keeps the belt, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, it was terrible, you winning by DQ. He's willing to give Big Show a rematch for the title anytime he wants. Big Show says, well, that's good, because Teddy Long agrees as well, and they're going to have their rematch. It's going to be a no DQ, no countout this Friday on SmackDown, so good luck to you, and they both shake hands.
So two SmackDowns in a row with a World Heavyweight title match as the main event. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's interesting. I mean, it's kind of an interesting pairing putting these two in the ring together. I mean, Big Show's so big, and Daniel Bryan is, you know, such average size.
Yeah.
So I think they worked well together. I liked their match on SmackDown that they had. I thought the finish was pretty good. I mean, Mark Henry's still involved in the main event spotlight in the best way that he can, because he is still injured, right? That's so right. At least they had him at the commentary table.
Visible, right?
Yeah.
That's what you want.
That's what you want. So mm-hmm. You don't want him to disappear.
No.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Do I think Big Show takes it? I don't know. I mean, I said this to you before, I considered Daniel Bryan a transitional champion at this point. So it is possible that a Big Show could take it, but I can't see Daniel Bryan losing it on SmackDown.
I think Daniel Bryan's going to hold it all the way to WrestleMania.
I'm going to disagree with you on one. Yep.
You think he's going to lose it at the Rumble?
Possibly. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, but I haven't really put much thought into it.
I really hope they don't. I want to see him hold it longer than a month.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think he deserves it.
We'll find out. But you also thought that this man deserved a big push, and this is what I'm getting to next.
This has made me look nothing but bad. All kinds of bad.
And me
people.
looking awesome. We go backstage just before commercial, showing a locker room door with a very small sign on it that says Brodus Clay, and Michael Cole making the announcement that he will make his debut tonight. I mean, come on, James. You got to be excited for the big Brodus Clay debut, especially considering on Thursday you said he wasn't going to make his return to the Royal Rumble. And some of the other guys I've been listening to online were saying the same thing, if at all. You know, they were wondering if he was going to make his debut at all. But tonight, we finally get the Brodus Clay debut. You know, the clip we played off the top of the show, that was the man we were really hoping to see, the guy who was going to lay a beating to every single person in the organization. And what do we get instead?
We get a fat man in a red Adidas tracksuit singing and dancing to the song you heard off the top of the show.
Somebody
call my mama.
That's
yeah.
right. You're right. James, I got to ask, what the funk is up with Brodus Clay?
No kidding. Here I thought we were going to have this amazing monster character just come out and just destroy people. And we get a sing and dancing fool. And I tell you, I had to pick my jaw up off the floor because I could not believe what I was seeing. This was the biggest swerve in a long time.
I think they knew that. You know, I think they're really toying with people here. And I'm going to get to my real reason as to why I think this took place. But it was funny how they introduced him, because Justin Roberts, the ring announcer, he's in the middle of the ring after the commercial break. And he says, after weeks of anticipation, finally landing on Monday Night Raw from Planet Funk. Weighing in at 375 pounds, the Funkasaurus, Brodus Clay.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, you know, like you said, the two girls walk out dancing. Brodus walks out in the red Adidas tracksuit and top hat, and he dances in the ring with the girls until the music stops. Pyros hit from each turnbuckle corner. And
it was like a bad rehash of The Godfather.
It was, wasn't it?
Oh, man.
And what's funny is that after the pyros hit and the music stops and it goes kind of quiet, you can actually hear Brodus Clay say, you didn't see that coming. And that kind of brings me up to my point about this whole thing is I think they were going for, well, I'm going to wait. Let's get to the match first.
All right.
And then I'll tell you what my reasoning is.
Okay, so the match was, yeah, the Funkasaurus Brodus Clay versus, woo, Curt Hawkins.
Who was already at ringside.
Who was already at ringside standing out.
So you know he has a chance at winning.
Yeah. So essentially, they started off with some chain, and Curt Hawkins eventually got Clay into a waist lock. And as he was applying this waist lock, Brodus Clay then started to shake his hips and kind of do like a funky kind of dance. Curt Hawkins immediately released the waist lock, slaps Brodus Clay. Brodus Clay then loses his smile, looks like a mean guy like we thought we were going to see, grabs Curt Hawkins, tosses him into the corner, runs into him for a big body splash. Curt Hawkins staggers out of the corner. Brodus Clay hits the ropes for a flying cross body and gets the 1-2-3. Again, another very short match. It was only like a minute, maybe a minute and a half.
Typical debut squash match for a guy to try and put him over with the crowd. And it wasn't about the wrestling match in this instance. This was about the debut of his new persona. Now, here's my... This is my reasoning for what they've done with this.
Okay.
I could be right. I could be wrong. It's just a hunch. But later, after the commercial break, after this match, we go to commercial, obviously. And we come back, and just before the next match, Michael Cole announces that Brodus Clay is trending number one worldwide on Twitter right now. And it just kind of popped into my head that maybe the WWE was just going for that instant shock value where everyone was just so stunned that Brodus Clay came out like that, that they would be posting it on their Facebook and Twitters, you know, saying, oh my God, did you see Brodus Clay? I can't believe it. I'm so... like shocked, but you know, like maybe this whole thing is just about getting that name,
getting some reaction out on their social media outlets.
Yeah,
that's entirely possible. I think I turned to you during the show and I said, you know what, this is the first time I actually believe that the guy that they say is trending is actually trending.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, it's the only person who suffers in this situation has got to be Brodus Clay, because immediately all credibility for this guy thrown out the window.
Well, it kind of makes me wonder if he thought up of this gimmick for himself or if this was just given to him, because rumor has it that Brodus Clay is like a really smart guy and is really good at coming up with gimmicks. So I'm just wondering if maybe he, you know, did he come up with this himself or was this given to him? Because like,
I would think this is a Vince McMahon idea.
He's been known
to give these gimmicks out before.
Why? I just don't understand why they wouldn't have him come out as the monster character that we saw on NXT and Superstars. Like,
well,
it was perfect.
We got into it Thursday. I told you why. I think that it has to do with his looks. And another part of him is he's got that really heavy southern accent, right?
Yeah.
He's got that very almost like Dusty Rhodes type accent. And I don't think people are going to buy that these days. I don't know. I don't know.
To me, tonight, he looked like Uncle Phil from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It was just... Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's one to think about.
Biggest swerve of the night, that's for sure. Yeah,
for sure. We were laughing pretty good at that
one. Holy smokes.
So we then go backstage to Zack Ryder, who is in front of a mirror brushing his teeth. He's actually pumping himself up in front of the mirror, saying to himself, "You're finally going out with Eve, yes." And then he kind of like turns around bizarrely, and he says to himself, "Come on," and he runs off. I didn't really understand why he was doing that throughout the night. He kept kind of like looking over his shoulder. I guess it was because of Kane.
He's scared that Kane's going to come up from behind him and attack him or something.
I guess he's had nightmares for a week.
This whole program's terribly written. I hate this. I hate this John Cena Kane program. I'm going to go out on a limb and just say it. I freaking hate it.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
We then dissolve to The Miz, who is talking to Primo and Epico. Epico.
Yeah.
With Rosa Mendez. And she says something to The Miz in Spanish, and they all walk away from him. It's at this point that CM Punk walks up to The Miz, and The Miz says, you know, "What?" And he walks away. Punk continues his walk to the entranceway. And this sets us up for the Jack Swagger versus CM Punk match. You know, Swagger walks out with Vicky Guerrero and Dolph Ziggler. And just before the match starts, John Laurinaitis interrupts with a microphone, and he reminds everyone who he is, of course, the interim Raw general manager. And he reminds everyone as well that he's the special guest referee for the Ziggler versus Punk match at the Royal Rumble. And just to show that he's a fair guy, if Punk beats Jack Swagger tonight, Vicky and Swagger are banned from ringside at the pay-per-view. And also, just to make sure Ziggler is in shape for his match at the Rumble, if that was in doubt,
no kidding.
He's going to face John Cena tonight later as well. And so at that point, Laurinaitis gets off the microphone, and this sets us up for Jack Swagger versus CM Punk.
Yeah, this was actually a really kind of a slow-paced match. It went back and forth for the good first half of the match. And every time that CM Punk would kind of try to make a comeback, speed the match up a little bit, Jack Swagger would knock him down and slow it down a little bit with rest holds and submissions and whatnot. It had a neat spot where Swagger threw Punk to the outside. And just as Dolph Ziggler was coming around, kind of closing in on CM Punk, he saw John Laurinaitis step in the way and kind of stop him from attacking CM Punk. So again, babyface tendencies to John Laurinaitis here. It's goes back to what we talked about on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting how they, one minute he's a bad guy and one minute he's a good guy. He's really confusing people, and I actually like that they're doing that.
Yeah.
I've come around on it.
Yeah, he's becoming a very interesting character.
Now, the finish to this match,
it's
very interesting.
Oh, man. So, again, it had some really nice spots, back and forth, slow-paced match. But the finish of this match was one where we went, holy holy Christ. Like, so essentially, Swagger picks up CM Punk, puts him onto the top rope, climbs up onto the second rope like he's going to give Punk a superplex, but Punk fights him off, headbutts him off the second rope, and then he goes up to the top, is going to go do the Macho Man pose, does the elbow drop, hits Swagger, and he goes for the pin, and this is where the craziness happened. The ref counts 1, 2, Jack Swagger kicks out, but the ref still hits the mat for the 3 count and then calls for the bell to be rung, and you could tell by their reactions that it was a complete botch on the ref's part.
Swagger clearly kicked out before the 3. The ref wasn't even actually looking at Jack Swagger's shoulders when he counted the 3. And I found it very interesting because I could swear that I heard the referee mutter something to CM Punk, and he, in that sentence, he said sorry.
Yeah.
Almost like he knows he screwed up. But what was even more surprising to me with this one, James, is that they showed the replay twice. And then at the end of the second replay, Michael Cole says the ref blew the count, and that is why John Laurinaitis has placed himself as the special guest referee at the Rumble. So if this was an accident, I think they covered it so well in this instance. Or if it was done on purpose, it was quite interesting as well. I actually really liked the finish to this match because it left me wondering, was that supposed to happen or was that not supposed to happen? And I mean, I know I'm supposed to, you know, suspend all belief anyways and just go with it. But, you know, you and I were both looking at us immediately thinking, God, that was a botch and a half. But then when Cole said that that is why Laurinaitis has made himself the referee at the Rumble, I'm thinking to myself, maybe this was done on purpose.
It's possible. I mean, I started questioning it too, and they replayed it twice. Generally, when they have like a botch on counts like that, they don't really replay it.
Exactly. And they showed the replay twice, and on the second replay, they put it in slow motion.
Yeah.
So maybe it was just a very great call by the producer in the back telling everyone how we're going to cover this at a moment's notice. Maybe.
Or it's just made to feed the storyline with John Laurinaitis being the special guest referee. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, at this point,
who knows? I think they're going to run with that now. If it was a botch and they covered it that well, I bet you that is they're going to run with that in the storyline, and it works perfectly. Yeah. I thought it was a really great joke.
Yeah, if it was a botch and they covered it like that, kudos to the producer for sure.
Mm-hmm. We then cut backstage to John Cena and Zack Ryder. Ryder is saying thank you to Cena for helping save him from Kane last week. Cena informs everyone that Ryder has passed The Miz on Twitter, making @ZackRyder one of the top 5 most followed superstars in the WWE.
Way to go, Zack Ryder.
Ryder looks behind him again, kind of like in a bit of discomfort, walks away, you know, I guess checking over his shoulder for the ever so deadly Kane, of course.
He could be hiding anywhere behind any door that's open a crack.
Mm-hmm.
Better watch out, he could peek out.
And we then go to a promo, a very in-your-face promo for the new WWE Network. And one thing I noticed that they added to it this week was they're advertising a show called Countdown, and the slogan is, "We list them, you rank them." So I have a feeling that this is going to be a bit of an interactive show with their website where people, or, you know, they're going to give you 10 different scenarios or 10 different let's just say they wanted you to rank 10 different matches for whatever reason, and, you know, they'll have a voting. This is my guess anyways. You will vote on which matches should be ranked from 1 to 10, and then they'll have a show based off those votes.
That'd be kind of a cool idea, have it all interactive with their website so you can...
You're going to see this WWE Network really push stuff that you haven't seen before on television. That's the only only way this is going to work for them. They have to be creative, and they have to be innovative. And the whole basis of the WWE is trying things that no one has tried before. And if it works, they go with it. If it doesn't, they don't go with it, right? Yeah. So at least they're trying it. I'm looking forward to this. I mean, you got to be looking forward to
the WWE? Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We then are backstage with the Bella twins. Ricardo Rodriguez walks up. The Bellas say they have a message to pass on to Alberto Del Rio, who is, of course, injured right now. Miz walks up, and he interrupts everyone, and he tells Ricardo that he's going to send Ricardo to the ring tonight, and he wants him to call out R-Truth, say the most offensive thing he can think of, and that the Miz will take it from there. And if he doesn't do that for him, he's going to put Ricardo Rodriguez on the injured reserve, much like Alberto Del Rio. And then this was a bit of a surprise as well. We go to a promo for the second Hall of Fame inductee in one night. You don't see that all the time.
No.
But here's an interesting inductee into the Hall of Fame. It's announced that the 4 Horsemen are being inducted into this year's Hall of Fame. And that, of course, consists of Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, and Barry Windham.
So is Ric Flair the only person to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame twice?
Well, I don't know. I mean, is he even going to be at the awards ceremony? I mean, he's not under contract in any way. He's not even on the best terms with the WWE at this point.
I don't know what the whole relationship with Ric Flair and the WWE is at this point, but
this might be a good opportunity to get Arn Anderson into the Hall of Fame, right?
Well, he should be in the Hall of Fame anyways.
Yeah. Well, personally, he still works behind the scenes. He's left a lasting legacy with this company. And he is the brains behind the Four Horsemen. I'm just interested to know if Ric Flair is actually going to show up. Find out.
I think he should. Four Horsemen, come on now.
Yeah. Or do you agree? You definitely agree with that, right?
Oh, the Four Horsemen?
Yeah.
Oh, they were the stable during the 80s. Yeah. Like,
they were
untouchable.
Yeah.
They were the NWO of the 80s, for sure.
Absolutely. Ricardo Rodriguez is then standing in the middle of the ring, and he gets on the microphone, and he says, "Miz, I hope you're watching this. R-Truth, you need to come out here." And he adds that his mom is really ugly, she has a mustache, and that you, R-Truth, smell like a wet donkey. Your breath stinks, and, well, it stinks really like a bad, rotten burrito.
And he's saying this very reluctantly, like,
yeah,
he's like, kind of like shaking in his boots almost.
Is this the first time we've ever seen Ricardo Rodriguez speak this well of English?
That's what I was thinking, actually, too, as I was watching Raw tonight. Like, is this?
It is.
This has got to be,
He spoke perfect English, and up until this point, I had no idea.
Yeah, well, he's only been speaking Spanish, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, he said a few things English here and there, but...
I guess it's like Hornswoggle, who all of a sudden learned the English language in a week and started talking to everyone as well. I mean,
maybe he got a wish from Santa, too.
Maybe. What does that mean?
Well, that's how Hornswoggle speaks English now, because he got his wish from Santa.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Maybe Ricardo got a wish from Santa, too.
Jeez. Wow.
It was the holidays.
All right. Well, R-Truth had enough of Ricardo bashing him and his mother, so his music hits. He walks out. And R-Truth starts the whole thing off with, "Oh, Lucy, I'm home." And, "Hola, Ricardo." And, you know, he says, "I don't know why you want to fight." Or he says, "I don't know why you want to pick a fight with me. I'm not a bad man. He's a good R-Truth." Kind of getting a little dig in on the Texas fans.
Ron Killings is seriously entertaining. He really is.
Yeah. He asks the crowd, or the Little Jimmies, if he should let Ricardo go. And it was funny because the crowd yelled back, "No," right away. Basically, you know, like that was, I don't think that was, like that was just really funny, I thought. The crowd just turned on Ricardo. They all wanted to see a beatdown from R-Truth, I guess.
Yeah.
Ricardo yells out at this point, asking where the Miz is, because he said he was going to take it from there once he came out. R-Truth tells Ricardo to sing a song, and he wants him to sing the song La Cucaracha. Ricardo does it, and he starts off reluctantly, but then he turned it into a quite impressive rendition of the song, even threw a remix in there at one point.
The Cucaracha
remix. R-Truth tells him to sing it again. Ricardo impulsively smacks the microphone out of R-Truth's hand. Truth, of course, gets pissed, and he gives the shut up to Ricardo Rodriguez.
And all the while, there's zero reaction from the crowd whatsoever.
Yeah.
This crowd was terrible.
They were really dead tonight.
Unbelievable. Nothing got a reaction tonight almost.
And that's just working against so many guys at this point in time. Yeah. They got to get to a big stadium one of these days. They got to get to one of the big cities. You know what I mean?
If you're
going to put a really good show promoting the Royal Rumble, you got to get that.
You got to get out of Corpus Christi.
Yeah, of course. Miz at this point, after he gives the shut up to Ricardo Rodriguez, Miz jumps out from out of the crowd, and he basically jumps R-Truth from behind. He gives Truth a beatdown. Truth kind of fights back at one point, and Miz retreats into the crowd, running away as fast as he can, heading into the back. Now, what's your thoughts on this whole Miz and R-Truth scenario?
Well, I don't mind it, really, but I don't want to see R-Truth become a babyface again. That's my only concern.
Becoming a babyface?
He's attacking Miz, who's a heel, and that's kind of getting the crowd behind him. That's a babyface thing to do, right? Is you attack the heel?
Yeah, but maybe Miz is becoming a bit more of a face. No, not at all.
No, definitely not at all. He's still a cowardly heel. I mean, he's going around looking for people to be his bodyguard.
Yeah,
he's running away scared from R-Truth.
Yeah.
These are classic heel tactics,
right?
Yeah,
you're right.
And he's becoming almost babyface by default. I mean, I'd still consider him a tweener at this point because he's still kind of making fun of the crowd, and he's, you know, not singing or dancing or anything, but I don't know. I think he's slowly becoming more of a babyface, which I don't agree with. I think he's way better as a heel.
Yeah.
But if that's where they want to go.
We then come back from commercial break to one of the most uneventful segments I've ever seen in television, I would say. And that is Justin Roberts. This is the way he introduces the next guy to come out. He introduces the only man to beat Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock in the same night to become the undisputed champion. Of course, he's talking about Chris Jericho. The lights go out. Jericho's lit up jacket is revealed. Jericho's standing there. And instantly, everyone is thinking again that he is a face, a baby face. He's acting, you know, he's slapping the fans' hands as he walks down to the ring. He's acting like a total good guy.
Big smile on his
face. Yeah. And at this point, I'm starting to think, is he going to do the exact same thing that he did last week? Because that's what it was looking. And I don't know if that would have been a good idea. But he asks for a microphone. He's continuing to play it up to the crowd. He's embracing the Y2J chant that the fans are giving him. And he basically, at that point, breaks down crying in front of the crowd.
Yeah, I couldn't believe this.
Or at least he plays it up like he is.
It was a bad cry at that.
And he asks for a moment to compose himself. He ends up dropping the microphone like he did last week. His music hits, and he walks towards the entranceway crying and ultimately goes into the back.
And he turns around, gives a big thumbs up while still crying.
And then we go to commercial again. That was basically one segment of television. Chris Jericho coming out, breaking down in tears, saying nothing, walking to the back. We go to commercial.
Wow. I wonder if that was written down on the script, one segment block.
Just riveting television.
Chris Jericho coming out and crying.
It's funny, eh?
Well, I hope he doesn't do this again next week.
He's got to say something here soon. I mean, I don't.
Because people are going to start hating him instead of just hating his character. He's going to get the wrong kind of heat. Right?
Yeah, it will be.
He'll get the X-Pac heat. But I mean, I don't know. I kind of wanted him to say something this week.
Yeah.
But I can understand why he did it again.
Well,
the crying thing I don't understand. I'm going to be interested to see where they're going to go with this.
I think it was a fake cry. That's what I think. I mean, obviously he's fake crying, but I'm saying, I think for storyline purposes, you might see that it revealed that this is all just a big game to him. Maybe he's not even coming back. Maybe he's just coming back, slamming it to the fans, keeping himself as a heel, and he's going to take off again. I don't know, maybe.
Without even wrestling.
But yeah. Maybe he's just going to stick it to the whole WWE universe.
Come collect my paycheck and
waste some airtime. Get out of here. Eve Torres then walks out for her Divas match, and Justin Roberts announces her opponent, and Kane's music hits out of nowhere. The lights turn red. Ryder runs out from the back. He quickly grabs Eve Torres. They head backstage. They actually go into the back parking lot, which we saw earlier, the loading bay area, and they're panicking because they want to get away from Kane.
And their tire is flat, and Zack Ryder has to fix this flat tire, so he throws Eve Torres into the dryer, the passenger seat of this car, and I don't know if he locked the door on her or what, but it seemed like she was locked in this SUV or something.
This whole thing was just stupid.
Terrible. And then he's going down and he's messing around with it's obvious that he doesn't know how to change a tire.
First of all, if you're in a rush to get out of the of where you are, you don't go and fix a flat tire. Oh, you'll walk out to the curb and hail a cab, or you start running, first of all.
Oh, Jesus, Corey, there's a guy behind me. He wants to stab me. I got to get in the car. Wait, I got to change the tire.
Oh, come on. Like, that's just so unrealistic. And what was even more unrealistic is how you had Eve Torres in the car acting like she was locked in there. She opened the door and got in there willingly.
And all the while she's screaming at Zach, hurry up, Zach, hurry up. We got to get out of here. Hurry up, Zach. Like, gee, you're not helping any.
I found the whole thing to be incredibly annoying, unrealistic, and just, mind-boggling.
It did. It blew my mind as well.
Do you think kids are buying it? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. You know what? I got to start watching Monday Night Raw with my buddy's 5-year-old just so I can see what his reaction
is. I'd be interested to do that one time, actually. Now, we head to commercial. We come back from commercial. Zack Ryder is still continuing to try and fix the flat tire. Eve is still in the car panicking, telling Zack to hurry up.
God, I couldn't believe that. God. She's still in the car yelling at him to hurry up. Like,
we cut to Dolph Ziggler, who's already standing in the ring. Something that I noticed with this one, James, is that he had a bit of a slower entrance music tonight. I don't know if that was just a certain part of his song that you don't normally hear, but he had very slow music.
I don't know. That was a different variation.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Maybe it was a different part of his
song. John Cena's music hits at this point, and he is met by a mixed reaction, as he usually is. And this sets us up for the main event of the evening, and that is John Cena versus the man I love, Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, this this match went probably about, I don't know, 10 minutes long.
Love, James. Actual love.
You have actual love?
No, I'm just joking.
I'm sending Dolph Ziggler
an
email with your phone number.
I instantly regretted saying that as soon as I said it, so I thought I'd make a joke about it. Anyways.
So anyways, yeah, it was, you know, nothing special about this match. Dolph Ziggler took control early. There's this one point where he got this kind of side headlock on John Cena, brought him down to the ground, and as he had him in this side headlock, he did a handstand or like an elbow stand type thing.
I thought it was very impressive. That was it was a headstand while he had Cena in a headlock.
In a side headlock. It was, yeah, very impressive. But anyways, they're wrestling away, and eventually Cena ends up taking control. But this is when we cut back on the Titantron now. They cut back to this to the back loading bay area where Zack Ryder is still trying to put this spare tire onto the SUV, and that's when Kane finally comes out and starts attacking him. So at this point, John Cena sees what's going on the Titantron, tries to leave the ring and tries to go help Zack Ryder, but Ziggler jumps on his back, puts him into the sleeper, and then Kane's proceeding to to beat down on Zack Ryder. And then I think it was at this point that he brought him over, and he
it was at this point that Kane brings him over to
the docking plate. That's right. Yeah, I don't know if you guys know what like a loading bay looks like, but in loading bays, there's a metal plate on the ground that you essentially put onto the semi trucks when they back up. So, anyways, he brings him over to this metal plate, sets him up for the choke slam. And he choke slams him off this dock, and I swear to God, he bounced like he hit a mattress.
Of course he did, but.
But I mean like a really springy mattress.
I know, because it looked terrible.
Oh my god.
It was supposed to be like a 5 foot drop, and I think his bounce proved that he maybe fell 2 feet.
Yeah. At most 2 feet.
And then what was funny is that it's eventually revealed that he was slammed onto wooden pallets. Wouldn't you heard the wooden pallets break?
You would have heard something. You would have heard a crunch or a splat.
You heard nothing.
No, you didn't. You heard nothing. It was like, poof.
God.
It's
at this point that Cena, he eventually breaks the hold, the sleeper hold by Ziggler, and he runs to the back to help Zack Ryder. I guess the whole match got thrown out.
And it was at this point that I puked on Corey's floor.
In disgust?
Yes. In absolute disgrace.
So Cena eventually makes it to the back loading dock area. Kane instantly jumps John Cena. This is how we end Monday Night Raw, James. He chokes out John Cena with Ryder laying down below on the wooden pallets, and there's Kane standing tall over both John Cena and Zack Ryder.
So what a great ending to Raw. Not only did we not have our lovely Divas match between Eve Torres and Beth Phoenix for, you know, the number one contendership, or not the number one contendership, for a chance for her to, whatever. Who gives a crap?
Yeah.
Right? So we didn't have that match. But not only that, we leave her sitting in the SUV. There's no resolution to that. Dolph Ziggler's left at ringside. There's no resolution to that match. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. The whole...
I know.
The whole writing and continuity, logicality of it is just, I don't know, sickening to me.
And what is this setting up for Royal Rumble? What is any of this setting up for the Royal Rumble? I mean, Dolph Ziggler is taking on John Cena. Now, where is... I mean, obviously, there's going to be
involvement taking on Punk.
Sorry, Punk. Well, I didn't mean to say Cena. Ziggler's taking on Punk. They're not even advertising that this week on Monday Night Raw.
No, they didn't. I don't think they even made a mention of it.
Well, they did, actually, because remember they said Punk, if Punk won the match, his match against Swagger tonight, Vicky and Swagger would be banned from ringside at the Rumble. So there is that, but I mean, really, no interaction with Ziggler and Punk.
No.
I mean, Cena and Kane, I mean, where are they going at Royal Rumble? Are they going to be having a match, or are they going to be in the Royal Rumble?
No, they're probably going to be in the actual Rumble match itself, I would imagine.
That's just, I would imagine. I feel like this isn't getting me excited for Royal Rumble in any way.
Well, it's kind of hard. How do you build up the Royal Rumble match? Well, I guess there are certain ways you can build it up.
Well, the way I would build it up is I would each week, I mean, you had 6 weeks to hype the show up, right? Yeah. The way I would have done it is each week, you have one of these superstars standing tall at the end of the show, making you think that, oh, that guy actually does have a chance at winning the Rumble. And then the next week, yeah, that guy might have a chance at winning the Rumble, right? Yeah. You give these guys hope spots, basically, throughout the 6 weeks. Like, yeah. You make the fans think that all these different people have legitimate chances at winning the Rumble. But we haven't really seen that happen yet. Really, we haven't.
No, they've just... Yeah, they've been playing this whole Kane John Cena program up that's really seeming to go.
And again, I don't know. Nowhere. And yeah, I don't know where it ends from there. I mean,
what's the payoff for this going to be?
Well, Rock's going to show up, take over for Kane, basically. Thanks, Kane, for filling the time until I could finish promoting my movies.
Yeah.
That's basically what this is. And then the question is where does Kane go from there? Maybe he goes into a program with Zack Ryder.
Well, maybe it'll be Kane and Undertaker at WrestleMania.
I'm sticking by my original prediction.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Okay, so let's we got a few minutes here. Let's talk about it. What Royal Rumble, based off what you saw tonight, you're not really any more excited than you were 3 hours ago, I'm guessing.
For the actual Rumble match or the pay-per-view?
Well, just the whole show in general.
Well, probably not, no.
No.
I wouldn't say it's heightened. I mean, I'm going to be excited for the Royal Rumble anyways. That's kind of a, you know,
okay,
kind of a loaded question to ask. But as far as this Raw went tonight, no, it didn't really do anything to make me more excited than I was before the show.
And who's your pick after watching Raw tonight? Who would be your current pick to win the Rumble this year?
To win the Rumble, it'd have to be Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho.
You're going with that.
I'm going with Chris Jericho.
Interesting.
Who are you going with?
I don't know. I really don't at this point. I want to see, I mean,
you were telling me Randy Orton earlier, and you know what? I could see that. I could see this whole injury thing just being a work.
Yeah.
So he could be like the surprise return at the Royal Rumble.
Well, I just feel like I feel like this injury thing, it's probably not as bad as
they're making it out to be.
I think they're probably just giving Orton a bit of time off to rest up until the stretch to WrestleMania.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, every wrestler deserves a break. I mean, Orton has been on the road wrestling match after match after match, week in and week out for quite a while.
That is true.
So I'm thinking that they might just have him disappear, you know, almost have him come back as a return surprise at the Rumble, you know, wins it, picks up where he left off in the main event spotlight.
No, I personally can see Chris Jericho going in there, winning the Rumble, and then using that as a springboard to challenge CM Punk.
Yeah.
Heading into WrestleMania. So my pick's Jericho at this point.
Okay, and now what about the CM Punk versus Dolph Ziggler match?
I think CM Punk's going to win that for sure.
Yeah, and where would that go? Would that just end that night, or would this go into something more? Are you going to see Ziggler break off to, you know, start a program with someone else?
No, I could actually see it continuing a little bit more into the next pay-per-view probably, but probably by time February comes around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll probably see kind of a three-way mix between Ziggler and CM Punk and Chris Jericho kind of moving into towards No Way Out or Elimination Chamber, sorry. That's the February pay-per-view, right? So yeah, you'll probably see something with the three of them moving into Elimination Chamber and then seeing Dolph Ziggler kind of break away. Now, who Ziggler could face? I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, Ziggler is a credible wrestler in the WWE right now. I would think that he could have a legitimate match at WrestleMania. Who are you taking at this point?
Yeah, that is a good question, because who would you put with somebody like Ziggler to maximize his potential at a show like WrestleMania?
I guess you could put, I would love to see Orton versus Ziggler.
Orton versus Ziggler?
That would be a good one. Such a great wrestling match.
That would be a good one, yeah.
But the way it's panning out, I don't think that's going to happen. Although, maybe, if everything works out my way, Orton wins the Royal Rumble. Ziggler beats Punk for the title. Orton challenges Ziggler at WrestleMania. There we go.
Yeah, maybe Jericho screws Punk out of his title or something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But that's the beauty of the road to WrestleMania.
Absolutely. That's the beauty of wrestling itself. Professional wrestling itself. Just bullshitting and coming up with different weird things that could happen.
You can be the booker in your own eyes, right?
You know, you can either look really good or you can look like me with Brodus Clay and look really freaking bad.
Exactly. Well, I look bad after Money in the Bank, so don't feel too bad. All right, James, we got to get out of here. This was SRL on a Monday night.
And a very entertaining one, I thought.
Yeah, well, it's as long as we can make Raw sound entertaining, then at least it can come off half all right, because they didn't do a very good job tonight.
I wouldn't say this was the worst Raw I've ever seen, but it's definitely not the best either. I'd probably give it a good healthy 5.5 out of 10.
Yeah. If I could just make one suggestion to the writers of the WWE, it would have to be start promoting the Royal Rumble. Start making me believe that certain people can win the Rumble. I gotta say it, because at this point, they haven't even really touched it yet.
Well, maybe that's because they want you to think that anybody can win the Rumble.
Well, maybe. I still would like to see a bit of profiling as we head into the big match.
Yeah. So. I can see where you're coming from, so.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to talk about before we get out?
No, not really. I'm kind of tired.
All right. I know. It is late. 11:30 here right now.
Yeah.
On the Pacific Coast, of course.
The Pacific Coast.
All right. SRL on a Monday night. James and I are back Thursday for a full edition of Smack Talk Radio Live. You can, of course, check us out at www.smacktalkradiolive.com or join in on facebook.com/smacktalkradio.
Don't forget, you can also send us an email anytime on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. Just make it good, and we'll put it on the air.
Have a take, and don't suck. I'm Corey Callahan.
I'm James McDonald.
We will see you on Thursday.
This is Smack Talk Radio Live.